Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Minnesota Bound Podcast. Your host this time is me, Ron Shera. Thanks for joining us. And we have a very special guest here because if you like to fish, he's one of us. I like to fish, and he's better at it than I am. And his name is Steve Panaz. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ron. Good to be here. Thanks for the invite.
And if you're wondering if you've heard that name, Steve Panaz, it's probably true because for quite a few years, we'll find out how many. He has been host and producer of a show on the Outdoor Channel, Lake Commandos, which is a neat concept. Also does some shorties called Stone Cold Fishing about ice fishing tips, and then a Yamaha fishing tips as well. So, Steve, now you grew up in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I actually grew up in Minneapolis and spent a lot of time on Shingle Creek and the Mississippi River, places I could ride a bike to or walk to.
Is that where the fishing bug got planted?
Yeah, it really was. I think it came from both my dad and my grandfather, but yeah, having access to water that my friends and I could just walk to or bike to was just too much fun. And it really got hooked on it at a very young age.
Well, you know, it's a big jump from liking fishing to having your own fishing TV show, which a lot of people, of course, as you might imagine, look at me the same way as, how do you get started doing this? How do you do that? And that's a tough question to answer because it's not easy. I'll just say that. And especially fishing shows. Fishing shows have been around a long time. Some are interesting. Most are boring. But you broke through. Can you tell us how the Lake Commandos TV concept came about?
Well, years back, Ron, I actually started in a position with North American Media Group, and we launched North American Fishing Club, North American Fisherman Magazine. And one of the things that I had an opportunity to do was fish in the U.S. National Ice Fishing Championships, and I won it up near Chisago City in 1991, 92, something like that. And it was actually a producer from ESPN there that had a show that he was going to call Outdoor Secrets. And at the end of the interviews following the win, I said, who's handling your marketing? Who's handling your hosts? And bottom line is we ended up forming a relationship and ended up on ESPN with a show called North American Outdoors the next year. And so actually I've been involved and been on air for close to 30 years, starting way back then. And when I left North American Media Group in 2011, Lake Commandos was a concept that I kind of honed through the years with North American fishermen. We just basically go out to a body of water without pre-fishing. In a lot of cases, the first time we've actually seen the body of water is when we get there in the morning, and then we just go out and fish. And the whole goal is to help viewers work through the process of building patterns. So, hey, we're catching more fish on the deep weed line. We got to focus on this. We're catching more fish on orange lures versus, you know, craw patterns versus, say, a minnow pattern. And it helps our viewers really identify what they need to change while on the water to maximize success. And it's a lot of fun because I still wake up in the morning with, are we going to get it done today versus going out and say, hey, we're going to do a crankbait show or something like that. And it's a lot of fun. And we have some great guests on board. And it's really been popular.
Well, it's a great concept because any angler has faced those questions as you look into a strange lake or a lake you don't know. And you go, where do I start? What do I look for? Now, in your case, do you have to always catch fish? Do you always solve the lake on Lake Commandos, or are there times you say, you know, we did this, we did that, it didn't work, maybe we should have done that, but those are some of the things you got to think about.
You know, over the years, we've taped probably 150 episodes, and I think we've failed in maybe three or four times.
Wow. That's impressive.
It comes down to a fact that I've had the opportunity to fish literally hundreds, if not thousands, of waters across the country over the years with some of the top anglers in the world. And it just starts trickling down in terms of you start seeing these patterns and start building. And if I can't figure it out, typically my guest will be able to, or between us, we'll figure it out. But yeah, it's doable. It's just, I think it's one of those things that takes a while to hone the skills that, you know, kind of bring it across.
Do you wade into salt water at all?
Back when we were on ESPN, we did a ton of salt water. And so we had a chance to fish as far as, you know, in Mexico, Costa Rica, Venezuela, you know, some of the big stuff up in Alaska. But no, we focus 100% on freshwater with Lake Commandos. And typically we're fishing more of the upper Midwest lakes simply because I like to stick to drive to locations nowadays. And to be honest with you, the best fishing in the country is right here in our backyards. And I've had a chance to fish 40 states, and we've got it here. And that's pretty exciting.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I tend to agree, although sometimes I wonder if there's any fish in the lake I'm fishing, but then that's just me. I tell people that, like you, I've been fortunate enough to like go bass fishing in Florida in March when there's no fishing in Minnesota that I want to do through the end. I'm sitting there trying to catch a bass with a live bait or whatever. And I'm sitting there wishing I was back fishing in Minnesota. I mean, it's just, that's the thought you get, because it's either the bass are smarter down there and I'm dumber, or there's so much pressure on them. I don't know what it is, but all I can say is I wish many times I'm fishing in Minnesota and not Florida.
I would agree. I've been there several times.
So, before we get off the subject of Lake Commandos, one more time, how can people see this show?
So we're available on Outdoor Channel Q1 and Q2. We air four times a week, including Sunday mornings at 10:30. Here, we're obviously in our off time right now, but we're also available on World Fishing Network. And there's a subscriber service available that carries a ton of outdoor shows. It's called myoutdoortv.com. And Lake Commandos is available there. And the traffic is really shocking on My Outdoor TV. It's a great platform. It's easy to use, inexpensive. But the number of minutes downloaded annually is really impressive. You know, hundreds of thousands of minutes for Lake Commandos alone. And so if you're looking for if you're into the outdoors, looking for great hunting and fishing content, check out myoutdoortv.com.
That's interesting. I have seen that. I don't subscribe to it. I think I'm going to have to. Sadly, it's not my fault, but Comcast, who carries my TV into my home, no longer carries the Outdoor Channel. So I don't get any of that Outdoor Channel content anymore. So I regret that, because I was on Lake Commandos with you once, enjoyed that, and I would love to see more of your shows, but I have not. Let me back up a second. We started with, you grew up close to water as a kid in Minneapolis. You got the fishing bug. Have you ever kind of sat back, Steve, and said, what is it about fishing that I got attracted to, that's kept me going from a boy into an adult male? Have you ever wondered about those things?
I think about it constantly, because it's also, I think, what drives a lot of other people. And I don't have a great answer. I can tell you that I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy being on the water, just the experience. Last night I was out in the boat and listened to the loons and watched the sunset and just the rocking of the waves. But I do enjoy the challenge side of things, and I do enjoy the tougher bites. One of the things, I will get bored quickly if the fish are biting on every cast. But if it's a situation where we need five bites and we've got 6 hours to get them or 8 hours, I thrive on that. And I thrive on the fact that I think that everybody finds that it's a challenge. But it's a time, at times it's you know, quality time spent with friends and family. At times it's the just being out And at times it's the challenge. I think those are kind of the three main things for me.
Steve, let me just put this in your mind. When you find one of those places where the fish are biting on every cast, would you give me a call and I'll come over there? Well said. I think you raised points that all of us have thought about. But I do. Some people will say to me, I just like being out there, the loon calls and the sunsets and the open the air, the outdoor air. Catching fish is kind of secondary. And I go, wait a minute. If that's the case, take the damn hook off the end of your line. You know what I mean? So I do like to catch them. I like to have my rod bend once in a while, but I know what you mean about the tough bites. I'm not going to go into it, but I had an incident the other day where I had a real tough bite, and then suddenly Lady Luck shined all the hell all over me. It was unbelievable for 1 hour. But, Steve, when we get back, by the way, I'm going to tell folks we're talking with Steve Panaz, the host producer of Lake Commandos Television. He's also very active in a Minnesota organization called MinFish. We'll talk about MinFish, what it's about, when we get back talking to Steve Panaz. Steve, stand by. We'll take a little break here. I'm going to thank our newest sponsor, North Dakota Tourism, and Voyager Saunas.
Start planning your fall hunt in North Dakota at legendarynd.com. You know, North Dakota is home to more than 800,000 plots hunting acres. Those acres are private land that is open to public hunting, and the plots map guides show you exactly where all that land sits. You know, North Dakota's ringneck pheasant crowing counts are up 15% of this year, and of course, that takes good habitat. The state is also home to an estimated 2.9 million breeding ducks. North Dakota, it's an absolute outdoor oasis just waiting. Bag your limit this fall in North Dakota. Visit legendarynd.com.
For sure, we have to thank Kinetico again for being a longtime sponsor of our Minnesota Bound podcast. Kinetico water, for me, is very easy to talk about. I don't want to bore you, but Kinetico cleaned up the water in my home. It was iron stained and stunk like old skunk, maybe worse. And that was, 15, 20 years ago, Kinetico came to my attention. It's a water system that's advanced, takes very little salt, no electricity, and low maintenance. But it does wonders with your water. So if you have issues, whether it's city water, or in my case, I had my own well along, but I lived along a river, and for some reason it was so iron-stained water. Kinetico took all of that away. And they put a drinking fountain system in my kitchen sink. And the water that comes out of there is as good as any water you'd find anywhere in any bottle anywhere.
Hey there, Bill Shirk, the man about the woods. You know what? It's time to relax, and Voyager can help. Voyager builds custom saunas for your home, backyard, business, and you know what? The pick of the Shirk family, we love Voyager's mobile saunas that go anywhere we want to go. Clear grade cedar benches, spray foam insulation, Kuma wood-fired stoves, or Hilo electric heaters. These are Finnish-influenced hand-built saunas that will last a lifetime. They're constructed with care by the hometown Voyager's team. You know, the Shirk family loves our Voyager mobile sauna. Voyager, a Minnesota movement influenced by Finnish culture. Visit voyagersaunas.com and get ready to distress. Trust me, it works.
Welcome back to this edition of Minnesota Bound Podcast. We have a very special guest with us, Steve Panaz, TV producer, host of Lake Commandos on the Outdoor Channel. And you can also see him on, if you check out myoutdoortv.com. Steve, again, welcome back to Minnesota Bound Podcast.
Thanks, Ron.
Now, listen, your interest in fishing got you into a career in television and writing, etc. But your interest in fishing also compelled you, I think maybe compelled is the right word, inspired you, it might be another word, to join an organization called MNfish, MN-Fish, which, and just for total disclosement here, is that the right word? I also am a member of MNfish, and because I missed kind of the first meeting, got elected president of the organization.
You shouldn't have missed that meeting.
Did you vote for me? That's what I want to know, Steve Panaz. So I'm kind of asking inside questions here, but MNfish was organized to represent anglers in our Minnesota legislature because it dawned on a lot of us that we did not have much representation. You know, Pheasants Forever has their lobbyists, Ducks Unlimited, on and on, the conservation groups. But when it comes to fishing groups, we're kind of absent there. That was at least the motive for starting MNfish. Why did you join MNfish, Steve?
I don't know if it's complicated, Ron, other than the fact that I've really had a chance to fish a lot of places. And I've had an opportunity to see how some states support anglers and some states don't. One of the states that is really leading the charge is Texas. And I've seen firsthand how active their Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department is and how aggressive they are in really wanting to manage the resources for the benefit of anglers and tourism and things. Minnesota has an amazing resource here. I mean, incredible resources. When you talk to anglers across the country and you mention that you're from Minnesota, they almost wilt in the fact that they wish they could live here at least 3 months or 4 months out of the year,
right?
Because the fishing is so amazing and just having so many different lakes. But our challenge right now is we don't have representation. We have kind of sat on the sidelines as anglers. And we wield a big stick in terms of just the total number of anglers, and I believe that we can do a better job in managing this resource and making anglers making fishing just a little more a little better and a little more accessible for a lot more people.
Yeah, well put. As we explored this lack of representation, you go, how can this be? We have a million anglers, licensed buyers, and we have our own DNR fisheries department. But we've discovered some things that could use improvement, as you just mentioned. But I'm always reminded in my newspaper days, I wrote a story about a new organization called the Minnesota Sport Fishing Congress. They organized for the same reasons that MNfish organized. And the Sport Fishing Congress went for about 10 years, didn't make too much of a big ripple, but that was before social media and everything else. But 10 years later, I wrote another story about the Sport Fishing Congress was folding its tent. And I'll never forget the headline. I didn't write the headline, but some clever person did. It said, the A in angler stands for apathy. And that was the main reason why Sport Fishing Congress had to fold its tent. And my goal as president is to not let apathy get us or put us out of business either. So that was an important lesson to me. And so we carry on, right?
I agree. And what impressed me about MNfish is the number of anglers that want to get involved, that have gotten involved. And this is a 100%, other than we're going to announce a hiring of an executive director, but the board is made up of 100% of volunteers. And people that are involved because they want to help, they want to improve it. And you know, it's hard not to want to be part of that.
Well, some of the issues, in case some folks are wondering, well, all right, I'm in fish. What are you trying to do? You want stock more fish, or I mean, is it bigger than that? What goes on? So I've just, you know, some of the issues, Steve, as you well know, being on our board and now a secretary as well. One of the things we're trying to do is have bonding money for to improve our walleye hatcheries. bonding money to improve our public access. So some of those boat ramps are awful shape, and DNR hasn't done much with any of them. It's very expensive. And sadly, the boat registration money that's supposed to go for that is also subdivided for a lot of other things that DNR is supposed to do. So anyway, make a long story short, there's a huge demand for more public accesses. And there are other issues, too. Sometimes there was a bill this year to go from a statewide walleye limit from 6 to 4. It was in the legislature. It had some life for a while, and then it went away. And I think, so we get involved a little bit in some of these issues. Some of them are, you kind of maybe better avoiding them because you got 50% in favor and 50% opposed. But that's life. So your thoughts there.
Well, I think that if we can have a synergistic relationship with the legislature and with the DNR, there's times when the DNR, we can help them. The pike regulations, we've got an issue with the short pike. There could be solutions that we could work together on. Red Lake earlier this year, this last winter, was just getting crushed by anglers, and it was an opportunity for us to highlight some other bodies of water. But boat ramps are one of those things that a lot of the ramps, particularly in far northern Minnesota, were built for 14 and 16 foot boats. And the majority of anglers aren't fishing out of 14 or 16 foot boats. And so there's a need to improve ramps. There's a need to add docks on more ramps and, kids programs too. I think that we see opportunities to expand, especially after COVID, and help new anglers become more proficient and enjoy the sport even more.
Yeah, we did during COVID. We made a suggestion on social media, Facebook, etc., reminding anglers that, especially walleye anglers, prior to the walleye opener, is to, hey, don't forget to get a walleye stamp. It's $5. You don't really need one. It's not required, but you can help yourself because that $5 is dedicated to buying more walleyes for stocking. And I don't know how much we had to do with it, but the walleye stamp sales went up quite a bit.
Yeah, they did. Dramatically, actually.
Hi, I'm Laura Shara. And do you really know what it costs to heat water at your home, cabin, or business? No? Well, we do. Based on data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the average annual savings for homes that heat their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to the average electric water heater. Let's save energy and money with a cleaner, greener fuel. Propane. The right energy right now. Minnesota's wildlife management areas are a vast array of lands all across Minnesota. These 1,440 wildlife management areas are valued not only for wildlife, but also for Minnesota's outdoor recreation opportunities. They maintain hunter walking trails, plant food plots for wildlife, and develop acres and acres of prairie and grasslands. To find out more, go to mndnr.gov/WMAS.
So what do you think, besides the legislation, other issues, where do you think MinFish should be headed next?
There's a couple things with that. I believe that anglers, I think we should listen to state anglers. I think anglers should get involved and let us know what they're thinking. We've had anglers reach out and say, hey, we need Sam Mille Lacs. Is the hook mortality rate correct? Should we look at that? Hey, we need help with this. We need help with that. So I think part of it comes down to what we encourage some of the anglers to get active and get involved and voice their opinions. There may be situations that we're not aware of. I do think the stocking is an area that we need to look at closely. I'm not advocating for more stocking, but I do think we need to look at the program, and there may be tweaks that are needed, in terms of reporting or some of the lakes. And then we also got to recognize that our lakes have changed dramatically. I live on Lake Independence. I got used to 6 foot weed lines and water clarity in the 6 to 8 inches over the years. And we've got weeds out to 13 feet this year, and the lake has changed dramatically. It's almost like a different body of water, and that's happening across the state. So I think it's important for us to you know, communicate with anglers about what's happening in the state and how things, you know, are going.
Yeah, those are good points. You mentioned the hooking mortality. DNR's method of estimating hooking mortality, and that's what it is. It's an estimate, but that estimate has a lot of weight because whatever the estimate is, a high or low, usually high, impacts the walleye seasons on Mille Lacs, whether you can keep any, et cetera, because of the tribal relationships, et cetera. So, and there's the points raised by one of our members about hooking mortality and how it's being measured, it raises some very interesting points that we Minfish, have to take to the DNR fish leadership and say, explain this. And, you know, they need to defend their system, their methods for sure. So those are good things I think we Minfish can get its teeth into for sure, like you mentioned.
Yep.
What about we're hiring a new executive director. That's kind of inside information, but he starts July 1st, and no secret, Chip Lear is his name, and it's a part-time position, but it's a first paid position. I think that will make us more effective. But we just have to keep plugging along between casts, huh, Steve-O?
That's a good way to put it.
Well, you mentioned the clarity of Lake Independence. I saw recently kind of a preliminary report on looking at the impact of zebra mussels and how Lake Clarity has increased with them and how they might be changing the food chain, which I find interesting, although I can never get out of my head that Lake Erie has had zebra mussels in there for 40 years or more, and their walleye population is booming. So I don't know where to come down on that, except that I guess you can't compare two lakes. It's like comparing apples and oranges sometimes. So anyway, that's another issue for us to sink our teeth in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as water clarity continues to improve, and it comes down to cleaner water, in Lake Independence's case, they actually went in there and removed sources of, you know, fertility that needed to get changed, particularly on the west side of the lake. They eliminated all the septic systems and some other things. And we're starting to see the benefit. I mean, it's been a dramatic change in the lake, but it's also changed the fishing. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily for the worst, but it's the techniques that used to work for years don't work nearly as effectively. And I think that's kind of a chance to grow as an angler. And you know, that's one of the things about lake commandos. Sometimes for me, it's actually easier to fish a body of water that I haven't been on before because I don't go in there with preconceived notions. And it allows me to kind of approach the lake differently than somebody that's actually been on it for years because I don't have the memories to go and do some things that we've done in the past. But
I can't tell you how many times I end up fishing memories and sinking my own boat because whatever worked in those memories wasn't working today. You know what I mean? That's a good point. You have no preconceived notions of what to do.
Yeah.
Steve, I'll let you go here. I appreciate your time and thank you for being a guest here on Minnesota Bound Podcast. Steve Panaz, host, producer of Lake Commandos television show, a great show if you haven't seen it. And I've been fortunate enough to be on it one time. Steve, you know, I never got invited back. I think I did beat you that day. I'm sorry. I apologize profusely.
I realized you would never forget that. But,
it's a point of pride. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't get beat often. So, you.
Well, I'll remind you as often as I can. Okay.
That sounds good.
Thank you again, Steve Panaz. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Well, with that, after thanking Steve Panaz, we also want to thank Voyager Saunas for joining our Minnesota Bound Podcast Network. Of course, we also are grateful to Connecticut, Minnesota DNR, Minnesota Propane, and North Dakota Tourism. So we will end, as we always do, with remember, introduce a kid to the great outdoors. I'll add, take them fishing, huh?